This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, once again greeting you and welcoming you to our lesson. We're thankful you've tuned in today. I do trust the program encourages you and challenges you. And for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. The program can be re-listened to there, and you can also reach me at the address that we've often given, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. We'd appreciate feedback, comments on the program, and we would take prayer requests as well. If you would like to write to me, you can re-listen to the program on my website, and there's a lot of other information there that you might find helpful. A weekly meditation that I hope you might find helpful. Now, today, we're going to deal with the second of three questions that we started dealing with last time. And before we do that, I want to mention that I usually have to record these programs about a week before you hear them. I try not to get too far ahead so that I can mention current events if, in fact, there are current events that are appropriate to be mentioned, and to mention holidays as well. And of course, I'm recording this one the day after the great big problem occurred in Washington, D.C., which is being called an insurrection. And I don't know exactly by the time you hear this what the outcome, the feedback, the fallout of what took place yesterday is going to be. I just want to make this one comment. I was reading on some things on Facebook today, and some of them were helpful, some of them were not. But the one thing I read that I thought was helpful was that the country is in need of a Snickers bar, that it is lost its mind and it's out of control. And if you've been watching TV at all, you know there's an ad that says that if you eat a Snickers bar, it'll settle you down. And I think this country needs a Snickers bar. And that's all I'm going to say about what has taken place politically in our capital during this troublesome period of time. But now, coming back to Genesis chapter 3 and 4, we're looking at three questions that are asked in Genesis 3 and 4. And the first one had to do with the question that Satan asked Eve, and he says, "Yea, hath God said?" And it seems to me that the problems in society all start out with questioning the reality of the reality and the truth of what God says. Now, I think it's quite clear that most of us believe there's a God. I know some would say, no, that we're just we come from dust and we go to dust, and once we die, it's all over, and there's no eternal life. There's no consciousness after we die. We just are a speck in the universe of whatever. And it makes no sense to me to say that when I look at anything of beauty, particularly if it's man-made. It took some time to design it and to make it. And the maker is always usually quite proud of it. And so when we look at God's creation, it seems to me like there was a designer, and that we need to recognize that that designer wants to have a relationship with us. And so I believe that there is a designer, and I believe that that designer left us a letter that we can read so that we can know how to please him. And there's an argument as to whether how much good people do. And I know people do a lot of good, but when you come to the scriptures, it says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And it all started with this question, "Yea, hath God said?" And when you look at good in the scripture, it seems to me, and there may be some exceptions to this, but it seems to me that the first time we ever do good, as far as God is concerned, is when we come in as sinners in simple trusting faith to the Savior and trust him. It's the first time we really worship God properly. And I know in Hebrews it says without faith, and that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is impossible to please him. So from man's standpoint, there are people who are unsaved, who are rebellious when it comes to the things that I believe in as well, at least with regard to the living God of heaven. And they do good. But as far as God is concerned, they're doing it for the wrong reasons and with the wrong motive. And doing good in the Bible really starts with having our minds and hearts changed by realizing that as sinners, there is none good, no, not one. And then turning to the Savior and trusting him, the only one who is good. And that question, of course, you know, was asked by a young ruler when he came to the Lord and he said, good master, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And the Lord said to this young ruler, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And he was really telling him in sort of a roundabout way that if he was going to call him good, he had to also call him God, because that's the only one who is really good. But thank God, even though we may not be good, there is a solution for the sin that we commit. And that solution is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection, in his sacrifice. But when we say, yea, hath God said, we are falling into the trap of Satan, and we're saying that there is no absolute truth, and we're saying we can't really depend on what God has said. But I'm depending on what God has said. I'm depending on the fact that he's just, and he's the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. Now, when Eve took of that forbidden fruit, we read down through the story and we find out that they hid themselves from God. And I want to read to you from Genesis 3 and verse 9. It wasn't just Eve that hid herself, it was Adam and Eve. And in Genesis 3 verse 9 and 8 and 9, we read, God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, God knew where he was, but in the past they had had fellowship together in the cool of the evening. But now he had hid himself, and that's what verse 8 says. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, that's kind of interesting because you really can't hide yourself from God, and I think we all need to face that. And I'm going to do a little speculating here, but when we look at Adam and Eve, we're told they were made in the image and likeness of God. Now, I think that's two different things. I think the image of God means that they represented God here on this earth. It doesn't necessarily mean that they had the features of God, but they represented God, just like a totem pole would represent some of the gods of the indigenous people in this country, or perhaps a sphinx would represent the god of the Egyptians, a god of the Egyptians. So they were representatives of God, but they were made in the likeness of God. Now, in the likeness of God means, in my mind, it means that they were able to communicate with God, and in some sense, they were like God. And God, if we read through the scriptures, in the Psalms in particular, he clothes himself with light as with a garment. He is light. And when we see his glory, it's always associated with light. And I personally believe that Adam and Eve, when they were first created, had a halo of light about them that covered them so that they didn't feel immodest without being clothed. And when they took of that fruit, I believe that they lost that halo of light. I think that they immediately were exposed for as sinners because the light was gone. And as I said, you have to put quite a few pieces together to believe this, but I'd like to believe that was gone, and they didn't want to be immodest and uncovered and ashamed, so they sewed fig leaves together, and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Well, the fig leaves represent the way they wanted to cover their sin, and it wasn't sufficient as far as God was concerned. So as a result of the sin that they had committed and the fact that they hid themselves from God, God didn't hide himself from them. Notice that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That's always what happens when we sin. There's a barrier between, there's a break in the relationship between us and God, and by nature we are sinners, so that we aren't born children of God. A lot of people think we are, but we aren't born children of God. We aren't children of God until we're born again. And so we know that when sin comes in, if we continue in our sin, and basically the sin that separates us from God is the sin of unbelief, the sin of not being willing to take God at his word, the sin of not listening, the yea hath God said sin. And so it turns out that when God confronted them and said, "Where art thou?" he had to ask why they knew they were naked. And Adam said, "Well, the woman that you gave me of this fruit and I ate it." And he turns to the woman and asks her what she did. And she said, "Well, the serpent, he seduced me," basically, she says, "and gave me of the fruit and I did eat it." He questioned whether God was telling the truth, that they would surely die. And there's some issues about whether he was dealing with the fact that there would be physical death versus spiritual death, and the spiritual death would occur immediately because of the separation from God, but the physical death would occur later. There's a lot of issues in that area. But nevertheless, there's many people think that Adam blamed his wife and his wife blamed the serpent. But if you read the passage carefully, this was a confession. They were telling God exactly what had happened. And I know that if you read all of the detective stories and so forth, Eve should have said, "Oh, it was all my fault. I take all the blame," and so on. She would have said, "It's all on me." But in fact, they were just recounting what had actually happened. And in the presence of God, I don't think you really lie or cast blame on others. God knows exactly what your heart's like. And so they were forced to confess their sin. And when they confessed their sin, God then took the way that they wanted to be covered with those leaves, which in my mind represent all the things we do to please God before we're saved. The good works that we would like to think will make him happy, the good works versus the bad works, the going to church, the baptisms, the ceremonies. That's all those fig leaves that were covering Adam and Eve. And after they had tried to cover themselves that way, God did it in a different way. He clothed them with the skin of an animal. And of course, in order to clothe them with the skin of an animal, the animal had to die. But I think that's a picture of what Christ would do in a coming day for all of mankind. And so he covered them with the skin of an animal, and fellowship, I believe, was restored, but there was still consequences associated with their sin, not eternal consequences. That had been settled when they confessed their sin and when God clothed them. God saved them. They didn't save themselves, but they were forced out of the garden, and they found out that the life within the garden before they'd sinned was a whole lot better than the life that they were living dealing with the consequences of their sin. So friend, I hope you realize that you need, if you're listening to my voice, you need to come and depend on God and quit. If you're not saved, don't hide yourself from God. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon thy word and upon our audience as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.